Epaphroditus and Timothy, exemplars. We're going to see that Paul treats them as a real team, and they're going to be used here as an example for the church, because they exemplify the whole focus of what Paul is emphasizing in Philippians, of regarding others as more important than themselves. Paul has said that this is the thing that Jesus Christ has left with us. He urges the Philippians, and he would urge us, for us to have the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, that though he had everything, that he was willing to set it all aside and be humbled and die the death on a cross. So let's start with 2:19 and look at Timothy. Verses 19 through 27, 19 through 24 deal with Epaphroditus, and verses 25 through the end of the chapter, Timothy, and then the last part of it, 25 through 30, look at Epaphroditus. So what Paul says in 2:19 is that he will send Timothy soon so that Timothy can return with an uplifting update. So the passage reads, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state." I'd like for us to turn back in the book of Acts. By the way, the left side of my tongue is a little raw, and so if I have a little difficulty pronouncing words, it's because my tongue is not as cooperative as it's in several passages in Acts. We find that Paul and Timothy were in Philippi, and as a result of this, Paul makes mention of Timothy in the very first verse of Philippians. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops or overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we will see in Acts why it is that Timothy is mentioned. He's in the vicinity of Paul. He's part of Paul's team, and so Paul makes mention of him because he's soon going to send Timothy to Philippi. In Acts 16:1, "Then he, Paul, came to Derbe and Lystra." These are in southern Turkey, near the Mediterranean Sea. "And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek." If we skip forward to chapter 17, this passage is where Paul first met Timothy, but now as we get into chapter 17, Paul will travel with Timothy. Let's back up to verse 13. "When the Jews from Thessalonica I learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed." Paul went down to Athens. Very soon afterwards, he was headquartered in Corinth, where he remained for a year and a half. He was making tents. He was able to function there, had a business that was thriving because the tents provided housing for people who would come for the Isthmian Games, which was a small version of the Olympic Games. Now chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. Let's go ahead and start at verse 1. After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. And when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia. That's the province of Asia. It's in Asia Minor. It's in the area of Ephesus. And Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy, and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas. Now Troas is famous as the Troy of the Trojan Wars back in the writings attributed to Homer. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, that is, after Passover, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. So we find Timothy in accompaniment of Paul. He's in this general area of Philippi the whole time. He's within a couple of hundred miles of it in each of these passages, but he started out in Philippi because that's where Acts 16 occurs. And it was to Thessalonica that Paul went when he left Philippi. So Timothy has had an association with the Philippians. That is a reason for Paul mentioning him here as he's writing. So Paul says now that he hopes to send Timothy to them shortly. And when he sent them, sent him there, he was wanting to receive a report. This is the Appian Way. This would have been the starting point for Timothy's journey. It would be a long 2-month journey for him to get to Philippi. The fact that it would take about 2 months to get there is a major feature that is going to tell us a great deal about Timothy's character. You can see that unless he went all the way around the Adriatic Sea to go north from what's not shown on this map, he would necessarily go across water. So it would be walking to a seaport, then catching a boat, and then walking again to Philippi, and the journey would take a couple of months to make it all that distance. Notice what Paul says about Timothy, and it's going to be important to realize this is a major undertaking for Timothy. To go means a couple of months to make the trip out, a couple of months to come back, but then he would have time there in Philippi. There's a lot of time taken out of his schedule. Well, Paul says that there in verse 20, "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state." He says, "I don't have anyone with me except for Timothy that is willing to undertake such an arduous trip to come to see you and to minister in the way that is necessary at this time." In verse 3 he says, verse 21, "For they all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." Now you might say, wow, Paul is saying he has no one else that's willing to take this much time out of their schedule. They regard their own life that would happen over a period of, say, 5 months. 2 months to make the trip going out, a month to stay there, and a month, to, 2 months to come back. They're not willing to undertake that. You know, when you think about traveling in third world countries, well, here at least people have a bus and a motorcycle. Paul's talking about walking, and the accommodations were not great. Food on the road was not great. It was real hardship to make trips like this. It wasn't that you could go to an airport and sit there for a couple of hours after going through security screening, and then hop on a plane and then you're there. It was a major undertaking for people to make a trip of the type that Paul wanted to send Timothy. And he says he had no one else with that degree of devotion to the needs of the Philippians that would be willing to give up of their own schedule. But by contrast, he says, you know his proven character. How is it that they know that? Timothy has been with them before. He goes way back to the time of Acts chapter 16. And at that time, we have Paul going to Philippi, and Timothy was there with him, because Timothy was with him in Philippi in Acts chapter 16. Timothy was also with him in chapter 17. And so that period of time that Paul was in Philippi, obviously those two chapters, there was some travel, but Timothy was there. They know his proven character from a long, long time before. And so in verse 22, they know Timothy's proven worth, and that proven worth has arisen from Timothy's father-son type of relationship that he had with Paul. He served with him faithfully, and he was willing to travel. He was willing to go to endure the hardships of travel, whether it be to Philippi or to Ephesus or to any of the places that Paul sent him, that he learned from Paul, and then he could be entrusted with ministry to people of various places, and he was willing to do the travel. And so Paul is recommending him highly. And if he were falsifying this at all, the Philippians would know it, because they had been there, and Timothy had been there with Paul as Paul was ministering in Philippi. But Paul says in verse 24 that he expects to come to Philippi soon as well. So he's saying, actually in verse 23, that he's going to send him as soon as he knows his own situation. Remember, Paul is under house arrest. He's not in charge of his own situation. Everything is dependent upon how the Roman court system deals with him, whether he has a trial, and then how the trial comes out. But Paul expects to be released. There was a law in Rome that said that if the accusers in a trial did not come forth within a year and a half, that the charges were all to be dropped. Paul has had close to 2 years at this point in Roman imprisonment under house arrest, and Paul expects to be released. But he's saying, I'll send Timothy as soon as I know a few details that have to be worked out before I can send him. But in addition, Paul expects to follow Timothy. He's saying in verse 24 that But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly. It was not just that Paul would send Timothy to have to endure the hardships of travel, but Paul himself planned to come because it would be beneficial to the Philippians. We're going to see also that he's already sent Epaphroditus. Now, Epaphroditus came from Philippi and would be returning. But we're going to see that Epaphroditus is as selfless as Paul is, as selfless as Timothy is. Very much all three of these men, Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus, are following the example that Jesus Christ set down that Paul mentions earlier in chapter 2. That Jesus put the interests of others ahead of himself. That's how it is that we have eternal life as a gift, simply through faith alone in Jesus Christ alone for his promise of everlasting life. So here, as we look at verses 25 through 30, we have Paul sending Epaphroditus back. But it is interesting, if you look here at the notes, that the sending of Epaphroditus is mentioned both in verse 25 and 28. In verse 25, "Yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger." Interesting word there for messenger. It's the word apostolos, the word that normally is translated apostle. But what does apostle mean? It means one who is sent. It's the verb apostello, means to send. Remember, the Philippians sent Epaphroditus to minister to Paul. Epaphroditus became sick, almost to the point of death. And now Paul is sending him back to Philippi. Epaphroditus would have returned sooner, except that he had a serious health crisis, but the interesting thing here about Epaphroditus is that in order for the Philippians to minister to Paul financially in the way that they sought to do, it was Epaphroditus who carried the financial gift to Paul. He was willing to undertake that. And we're going to see more as we look at the passage about the sacrificial attitude of Epaphroditus. You'll notice that Paul calls him his brother, a fellow believer. He calls him a fellow worker and a fellow soldier. He's talking about this as a man who just doesn't warm a pew. This is someone who is actively involved in ministry, and you're a messenger, you're an apostle, the one that you sent and that I am sending to you, and the one who ministered to my need, bringing finances and any other way that Epaphroditus was equipped to assist. But now as we look at verses 26 and 27, Epaphroditus has become deathly ill while he was in Rome. And so in verse 26, Epaphroditus wants to return to Philippi, knowing the Philippians are worrying about him. And in verse 27, Epaphroditus almost died. He became deathly ill, but God mercifully healed him. Let's look at verses 26 and 27. The since is going back to the beginning of verse 25. "I considered it necessary to send him to you, since he was longing for y'all." and he was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. Messengers continued to go back and forth between Paul and the Philippians, and so one of those messengers went out and carried word that, well, no, the reason I'm here and that it isn't Epaphroditus is because Epaphroditus is ill, and it will be later on that he will return. Paul didn't just say, well, okay, I can't call them up on cell phone, can't send an email, I guess I'll just let them worry about Epaphroditus. No, Paul sent someone to inform them that no, nothing untoward has happened to Epaphroditus, but he did become very sick, and he will return to you later. But Paul was able to look at Epaphroditus as someone who is willing to make the same type of sacrifices as Timothy is willing to make. But you'll notice in verse 27, Paul talks about how God has been merciful by healing him. For indeed he was sick almost unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Paul is saying, I was spared from grief, and I was spared from having to tell you very sad news. I have sent Epaphroditus. Apparently, Epaphroditus is the one carrying this letter. So when he says, I sent him, he's sent him, but he sent him with the letter. So the actual point of Epaphroditus leaving is when he has the letter in hand. What we saw, on the other hand, with Timothy was he said, as soon as I know my circumstances, I plan to send him shortly. But he's already sent Epaphroditus back. Now, turn back to page 2 of the notes. You'll notice that the pages are divided left to right. And so the second point down on the right-hand side, Epaphroditus ministered to Paul, that's mentioned in verse 25. But it's also mentioned in verse 30, that because for the work of Christ he came close to death. What was the work of Christ? It was to minister to Paul, to financially support Paul, that the ministry would go on. This ministry of Paul's was extremely important. Remember Philippians 1:6, that the work that God had begun in them, which was to financially support Paul, which they did immediately upon Paul leaving Philippi back in Acts chapter 16:17, when he went to Thessalonica, that even there, during his short time in Thessalonica, twice they sent financial support. And Paul said they alone were doing it in the early days. This ministry was what made it so that Paul had time to minister to all the churches and to write letters. And much of the New Testament came out of the pen of Paul. The ministry that Paul was undertaking has been one that has lasted and has had a vital impact upon Christians throughout the centuries. That's why Paul refers to what he's doing as the work of Christ, and for that he was willing to pay the ultimate price. In fact, he almost did die. We find him, his near death mentioned in 27 and 30. But there is a distinction between verses 25 and 27, verses 28 through 30. in 27 and 20, 25 through 27, the focus is upon the ministry that has taken place as Epaphroditus has gone to Rome to minister to Paul. But there's a transition. Now, as Epaphroditus goes back to minister to the Philippians, this is to encourage and build them up, and Epaphroditus is going to be able to do that. So we see two sides of the coin as we look at Epaphroditus. He's ministered to Paul in Rome, and now as he arrives, he's going to minister to the Philippians there in Philippi. You know, a logical question may be arising in some of your minds right now. Paul has just sent Epaphroditus. Why does he need to send Timothy? Well, it's possible that there was not someone else who would be able to make that trip from Philippi as they're undergoing the persecution, the difficulties that they're facing. So Paul is going to send Timothy as a follow-up in order to bring additional truth, reinforcement of what Epaphroditus is going to be able to do. So Paul is continuing to look for what can he do to help the Philippians. And you'll notice, Paul is sacrificing. Having Epaphroditus was a very comforting thing and helpful for Paul. Having Timothy with him is as well. But Paul also is willing to make sacrifices. Each of these people that we're looking at was focused upon the needs of others, and they valued other believers higher than themselves so that they would minister truth from God's word in a way to encourage and build up their fellow believers, even at personal cost and personal discomfort. Let's again turn back to page 4 of the notes. So Paul is now returning Epaphroditus to them to raise their joy and to lessen his sorrow. Verse 28, therefore I send him the more eagerly, that when you see him again you may rejoice and I may be less sorrowful. Paul has spoken about how he has had his sorrow, his grief relieved for having Epaphroditus healed. But now he knows that the Philippians have had to do without his presence and without the benefit of Epaphroditus being with them. He was planning to be gone for perhaps 5 months, but he's been gone much longer as a result of his illness preventing him from returning sooner. Paul knows that the Philippians are still concerned about him. And so if Epaphroditus is back in the presence of the Philippians, that will set Paul's mind at ease. Once again, Paul is sacrificing. Paul says, it's worth it for me not to have the benefit of having Epaphroditus here if that eases things for you. Paul is thinking of others and elevates them above his own interests. Verses 29 and 30. They should rejoice and welcome Epaphroditus. And once again, it's putting the needs of others ahead of one's own needs. or wants. He says, receive him in the Lord with all gladness. Thanksgiving celebration, and I'm sure that they had quite a welcome when Epaphroditus did come back. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem. He's saying, don't just welcome Epaphroditus. Welcome those who are putting the interests of you ahead of their own interests. He's actually telling them how they should also welcome Timothy when he comes, and how they should welcome Paul when he comes. Then in verse 30, why should he be held in esteem? Because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life. Interestingly, the word for life is psuche, the word that is often translated soul. But soul is often used for life, and there are many, many passages in the New Testament that use the word psuche, that the translation reads life. Why was it that he was willing to do this? To supply what was lacking in your service toward me. Is Paul saying, oh, there's something wrong with you Philippians, there's something lacking in your service? Paul rebuking them? Absolutely not. The very reason that they sent Epaphroditus was that his presence was going to enable him to deliver the funds. His presence is also going to enable Epaphroditus to minister to Paul. And so the Philippians knew full well that they could do more for Paul by sending him. Interestingly, the Philippians have put the interests of Paul ahead of their own. That's what they have been doing over the years, ever since Paul's first visit to Philippi. This letter is a thank you letter. Philippians is not putting a guilt trip on them, but Paul is looking at people who have very much focused upon learning the word and using the word and seeking to please God. A major aspect of that is the fact that they have put the interests of others ahead of themselves. At the time that Paul is writing, though, they were undergoing persecution. We saw that in chapter 1. They had adversaries. And Paul had urged them back in chapter 1 not to allow themselves to be intimidated by those that were persecuting them. But what they needed to do was to focus upon the message that they have and to continue doing what they have been very good at, of putting the interests of others ahead of their own. They shouldn't let it degrade into an internal struggle, which is often what happens when there is external difficulties. There become internal fights, internal bickerings. But wait a moment. There was some of that going on in Philippi, wasn't there? Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. I urge Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Yes, the Philippians are doing well, but clearly there's room for improvement. Epaphroditus and Timothy are exemplars. They are people that the Philippians can look up to and say, wow, look at the sacrifice that both of them have been willing to make on our behalf, traveling all that way in order that they can carry word back to us from Paul. Going all that way so that we can contribute to Paul financially to make it so that he can devote more time to ministry and less time to making tents. Paul is saying, treat those men as exemplars. Especially though, of course, view Jesus Christ as your ultimate exemplar, as he said at the beginning of chapter 4. Teamwork. That's what this book is urging, and this passage very much is focused upon.